finds you at the spot, the place, the location. Coolest podcast on the planet, where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. We're back from our little sabbatical with a real winner, Amanda Barnwell Palmer. This woman is the business, and we are going to get into AI like no other. She is an artist, a teacher, a writer, a storyteller, and she's been in technology like forever. She was on the groundbreaking floor of AI before it even entered our thoughts. So I am so glad to talk to her. And we're going to talk about the ethical use of AI. You cannot rage against the machine, brains. I know you don't like it. Change is a constant. You need to go with it, but you have to learn how to mirror with it. You have to learn how to let it work in your advantage and not let it be a disadvantage. And don't be afraid of it because it's not going away. So let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Amanda?
I am awesome, April. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me and letting me do this with you today.
Absolutely. We got a lot to talk about. Tell my brains a little bit more about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, you know, you really gave a great rundown. I don't want to disservice what you've already done. I am an author, a teacher. I just finished a new course on emotional intelligence. It's emotional authority. It's called Intuitions, Emotions, and You, The Secrets of Heart Authority. And it's basically just about, you know, really connecting with our emotions and really actually learning how to allow our emotions to be part of our guide. We've been taught for so many years to ignore our emotions, to suppress our emotions, to push them down, to not listen to our emotions. And that just, it doesn't work. And I think that we are all in a place at this time that we can all thumbs up that one, that it doesn't work to suppress emotions. But there's a different way to do it. And I have, you know, stumbled upon it through my own life and through my own journey and through my own, you know, doings and goings. And just through finding out that my emotional center is an emotional authority. That means that I'm led by my emotions. I have to find my way through the emotional storms and get to emotional clarity before I can make decisions.
That's the fear, Amanda. That is the fear, is that people are saying, okay, you know, AI is purely mechanical and it just regurgitates information that's fed into it. But once you start incorporating emotions, feelings, you got a whole nother beast coming on there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's really interesting. There's a lot of theories about you know, this, and I'm not here to debate any theories on how AI can be used. What I'm here to talk about is the ability to ethically use AI and how it must be, because to your point, it's not going away. You can't run from it, you can't hide from it, and nor should we. Nor should anyone be afraid of it. And I think that this goes with anything that we've ever started with in life, all the way back to fire. You know, everybody knows you can get burned by fire, but you got to use it right. And if you do, fire is very, you know, helpful to us and has been over the course of our evolution. So this is no different. This is a tool. It's a tool that can absolutely enhance our lives in so many ways. And I'm just going to tell you just a really quick story about this and the reason that I'm so passionate about it. But it's because of the course that I created, kind of goes back into my journey, which is through battles of mental health. I personally have struggled with complex PTSD and complicated grief that stems back to a trauma that I had when I was a child. When I was 15 years old, my mom was killed in a car accident. She was 6 months pregnant. There was a lot of nuances to her accident, a lot of things that were surrounding it, a lot of things that made it really difficult, the timing, the time period, the just everything that went into what happened that day just shattered my whole life apart. And what happens when you go through not just grief, not just, we do have grief in our life, and it's not to minimize any grief, but when you include children and there's complicated situations and there's more to it, grief, it fractures and it becomes complicated and bigger and complex, and it can create PTSD and other types of trauma. And so I've had to live my life trying to overcome a lot of that. And as I've gotten older here, like closer into the 2000s, so like say like post-COVID, what I have found is there's less therapists. There's less counselors, there's less doctors, there's less there, even if you can find one that's accepting new patients, there's a waiting list. It's very, very difficult. There are people that are getting jobs, but these jobs are part-time, or they're contract, or they're freelance, or they're not, but for whatever reason, the company doesn't have to get benefits. There's, medical benefits. So there's people without health insurance to get even to a therapist, right? And then you've got these companies like BetterHelp. Those are great ideas, but guess what? They're really, really expensive. And the average.
Telehealth has just went up exponentially. Sometimes I really want to pay the copay to see an individual, but all that's available is telehealth. Now, what you're introducing to me is that it's not only telehealth, it's not only working with a provider, but it's also incorporating this third entity, which is artificial intelligence. Is that what you're saying?
So imagine, if you will, imagine that you can imagine, a world where we have created a like a Polly Pocket partner. Polly Pocket in your pocket, right? A little partner where when you like are have like the it's been trained on you so well that it can hear the influxes in your voice. It can tell when you are stressed, when you're when something's not, and it can it'll just grab, because this is the thing about training AI. You can train it to such specificity, and I'm not gonna say that word right. You're gonna need to put that up on the screen. You know what I'm trying to say though. You can be trained to such fine-tuned detail, right, that it can pick up on the slightest nuances that us as humans just don't have the ability to do. Therapists have their own things going on in their head. They don't. Yes, do they want to give their best to their clients? Of course they do. But we're all humans. You don't think therapists are sitting there while somebody's talking that they've seen 12, 18 times and been like, are we talking about this again?
And they've got their own thing rattling around in their brain, and they've got
Correct,
hundreds and
correct.
other clients.
They've got their unconscious biases. They've got, I mean, there's just like we could go on and on. Okay. Let's talk about the industries of people who are overworked. Let's talk about people that have burnout, consistent burnout, because you're consistently asking them to put more into their job than they have inside of their body. That's what leads to burnout, right? Burnout is I'm giving you more than I'm receiving. That's not the way that the universal law of giving and receiving works. The flow is it's an equal exchange. And if you're not in an equal exchange, your body knows it. You can't get away from it. And that's exactly what my course is talking about, the emotional intelligence of the body, like learning to listen to how your emotions inform you of where you're at. But what I'm talking about with AI here is that this is a tool, a technology that can be built around human emotions and in human influx in such a fine detailed way, and it doesn't get burnt out. It doesn't have racing thoughts inside its own head of like the laundry list of things that it's got to go home and do. And it doesn't have time to listen to Joe talk about the same thing for the 1800th time. It doesn't, AI's not going to get bored of you.
But see, this is the flip side of that. What is it going to pour into me after it's gotten all of that? It knows
Yeah.
me, it knows my triggers, it knows my emotional and voice inflection, it knows how I can't stand my husband and them badass kids. It knows all of that. But how is that going to level me out? Because that's got to be measured against something
Yeah.
else.
So that is exactly what we're talking about. So what we're talking about is we're talking about a brain trust of ethical AI developers that are getting into a room and they're talking about these things. And I am, right now working with a company that is doing exactly that. And this, let me tell you, unfortunately I can't disclose all of these things to you right now, but offline, like I'll show you the demo of this thing and you're gonna be like, it is so the immediate thing that you that I well, let me just say it in an I statement. The immediate thing that I feel is relief and like a sense of like, oh my goodness, thank goodness. Thank goodness that there's finally going to be somebody for this person over here to talk to. I don't know what happens to everyone else when they walk by people and they see people that might be, really struggling with mental health. Maybe they're talking to themselves, mumbling to themselves, sitting on the street. I don't know. But when I see people that are going in a mental health crisis, like I get like my body, tries to come, my soul tries to come out of my body to get over to
I
those
get you.
people to
I
try.
get you. Yeah, I've been there.
And so for me, this is like, oh no, we can change the entire face of how this looks. I mean,
It's
we're
just like,
talking.
again, I get it. And I'm on board with you. And I know that the ethical, but I know that there could be some trickery. There could
Oh
be,
yeah.
there
And
could
they're
be
absolutely.
some mind
And
wandering. Yeah. And
and
so
that's why you need. Yeah, and that's why you need
no
it. That's why you
oversight.
need the
I mean,
ethical AI.
they don't have the oversight on typical AI right now. It's running rogue. You're mimicking great singers. You are duplicating and creating artistry, all that. I get it. But until we get to that point that there is some checks and balances, that people, but the only way that we're going to be able to do that is by people utilizing it. It's just like clinical trials for drugs. Until you get in there and be able to bounce it back and forth, look at the pros and cons, we're still going to be, nervous. And I'm nervous. And I get it, but I'm glad that you are on the ground floor working with people that are ethical, that are trying to do it for the betterment of humankind, because there's not enough doctors. And there's so many nuances. I mean, so many people are misdiagnosed. Do you have ADHD? Do you have, are you neurodivergent in another kind of way? What is it? So this would help categorize and help people. And even if you need a medication, that's not to say it would be able to look at all the data that it has and suggest, instead of trial and error, people taking something and having a psychotic episode. So I get it. So that's crazy good. How long have you been in technology? You've been in technology for eons.
I would say that I officially started in 2009. That's when I started to get my degrees, but I really have always been such a little tech geek. I grew up in the 80s, and I think anybody that grew up in the 80s will tell you the same thing. Like, I had the first Pong
Oh,
and
wow.
right, and then Atari, and then the next thing you know, like, I'm taking my Atari apart. I want to see what's running that thing, I'm like that
Always
kid,
been
yeah.
kind of geeky and kind of nerdy.
Always, always, absolutely always. I remember being one of my first jobs was at a Holiday Inn Worldwide. This was forever ago when you actually had to pick up a telephone and call 1-800 Holiday in order to make a reservation for a hotel at a Holiday Inn. Yeah, I'm aging, right? Well, I'm 49. Today's my 49th birthday, so
Happy
no need
birthday
to
too.
guess or wonder.
Let's celebrate her. Absolutely.
Yeah, right. I'm fine with it. It's actually really funny. I remember being in the training class, and it was the very first training class where they switched from their DOS system to their Windows.
Yeah, I remember
And
DOS Windows. Absolutely. That was
oh man.
a huge transition. That was a huge trend.
You would have thought.
And so many people were excited about Windows. And then
Oh,
Windows,
yeah.
it just took it
Well, it
over.
changed everything.
Yeah,
It changed everything.
absolutely everything.
We got our minds.
What would you say to young girls, 12 to 25, in middle school, in college? How would you encourage them to stay in STEM and be excited about it?
Listen, I'm a STEM scholarship award winner, so let me tell you, I am all about it. And I am all about like that you can do anything that you want to do. Like, I think that the real trouble isn't that people don't do what they want to do. I think it's figuring out what do you want to do. So, what I would tell girls, any girl, any age, is let's figure out what you like. Where are your passions? What are you passionate about? Like, let's hone in on what I think happens all too often is kids get pushed out of their passion out
Right.
of some like older person coming in with what
Right.
their logic of like what's good for this kid. And all of a sudden, this kid's passion is like pushed out of the way for some logic for some other person that didn't make sense for this kid. And what really needs to be what ha happen is we need to look at the kids and go, what do you love to do? You know, I think we joke about kids that go, I want to be a fireman. It's like, cool, why? Right? Like, not like, oh, that was cute, pat him on the head and like send him away, like that was a dumb idea.
Or,
It's like, why
again,
is firefighting like fun for you?
I
Tell
mean,
me about it.
even the technical ch and the industrial trades, being a plumber, being an electrician, being a chef.
Me at all.
I was looking at my cleaning lady came in here. She's making a killing, just because there's a lot of people that don't want to do it. But also, I was a little worried. I was a little concerned about my daughter because my daughter is a creative, and she would have. I'd be sitting here and she'd come in and she'd have on ears and a tail. And I'm like, what is this? Then they got into the furries. Then they got into the anime. And I'm saying, this is like a cult-like following. What the heck is going on? Parents, engage in that and see what's going on. Why are these children playing these games? Why are they gamers? But what games are they playing? Are they playing games where they get 1,000,000 points for killing people? Are they playing games where they're, what was that one on Facebook, that Farmville or something? People went nuts over that, over planting virtual carrots and potatoes and pineapples. So you have to understand where technology is going and what the needs are. The needs now of the millennials, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, they are not the same. They don't want a big house with a sprawling estate and a big car. They want a tiny house. They want to be able to work from their device.
On wheels.
Exactly. Exactly. They don't want all the land. They want fresh water. They want fresh food. They're growing these, they're not even using agriculture. They're using these pods now to grow produce. So get into some of the science fiction kind of stuff. Because that's exactly where we're headed. Now, I did have
That's right.
another thing that I wanted to kind of tap on that before we move to the next subject. I
Take
had an
it.
opportunity to go to the Salk Institute. That's a scary place. There's places that are off limits that you can't go. And you see these and I didn't see any, but I could just feel the energy of, these people that have been reproduced in these cylinders. And they are being fed artificial intelligence and they are being genetically modified. And there is no sexual orientation to that. It just seems like everything that we've got sprinkling and sprackling out in the world are inside these cylinders. It scared me to bejesus. I couldn't get my ass out of here quick enough. Okay, I was like, it was too futuristic for me. So they're working on that. They're working on, stem cells. That's nothing now. They're, it's a lot going on. And technology is the key. So going into STEM is so valuable. But you not only do that, you have a creative outlet. Let's talk a little bit about your art.
So, I last year in 2023, I was diagnosed with MS. And when that happened for me, I was really thrown for a loop because I didn't know much about it, to be honest. And all I really knew was it was that it was neurological, and I knew the things that I was experiencing with it, which were really disconcerting. And so I was really kind of starting to be afraid, like, what does this mean for me? Like, am I going to be able to work on the computer? Because a lot of what was happening started with my eyes. So my eyes started to get really blurry, and so I was just wasn't able to see as well. So, and just some light flares in my vision, just really some strange things. So, and this, was about a year ago. This really was about a year ago, last April. I really just kind of took that, whatever it was that I was feeling from all of that, which was grief, because again, what I do is a lot of grief coaching. That's really where my passion is with people, right? It's really about emotions, working through our emotions, working through that. So art is just such a good way to work through emotions. And for me, it's just been my absolute savior. I mean, it's been part of my process to be part of my own,
Well,
overcoming.
it is an outlet, and a lot of people don't utilize that. Music is great. I know some people, I've had a couple guests that are into music therapy. When children have traumatic experiences, they do not have the vocabulary to explain what has transpired. But you give them a
Exactly.
piece of paper and some crayons, and they will tell you the story, exactly what
Yep.
has happened. The colors are very powerful. Are people using a lot of dark colors or
Yep.
hues or whatever? Are they using bright, vibrant colors?
I'll actually show you this. This was one of
Oh,
my first ones.
that's beautiful.
And it was just, it just came out of nowhere. And I think for me, this was my child. I do a lot of talking about inner child stuff, and it's not in like this weird woo-woo way, but it really is about, somewhere along the way, we told some part of us that was a child that, like, hey, I don't need your emotions, and I don't, nobody needs your whatever it is that you like to do and you like to play and you like to feel. Like, you just need to zip it and cut it off, okay? And when we did that, it was we locked that little piece of us kind of away, and because we were serious. Because the adults around us were serious.
Right. And they were
And so we were serious with ourselves. And I think this was part of
programmed
me.
because of
Yeah.
the epigenetics, the generational trauma.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying, like, let's all go back and blame our parents. Anybody know, I am all about releasing all of it. Releasing all of it be so that we can release the generational trauma. I mean, that is the whole point of us doing any of the work. That you're going to do. In fact, I just tell people, if you're not willing to forgive every single person that came before you, then don't even bother to
Right.
do the work. Because trust me, any of it.
So, Amanda, I'm looking at a couple of the illustrations that you have there in the back.
Yeah.
Eyes are very telling for you because they are the window of the soul. What is it
Yep.
about the eye that fascinates you so much?
So this is actually my daughter's eye. And I call it the eye to the universe because that's how I see her, just in general. My daughter is just my absolute everything. And she said that she loves eyes. She always, like, draws eyes and stuff like that. And I was drawing one day, and she said, "Mama, draw me an eye." But right in the middle of it is a constellation. And so what's really interesting about all of these, and one of the reasons that I kind of have them here like this, and that one particularly prominently displayed, is because another thing that I do and another thing that I teach. So this is a second sideline thing. I want to go back to the question about what would you tell 12 to 24-year-olds into STEM. I would tell them, make some money. You ain't got to wait to be an adult to make some money.
That's right.
Okay? Let's start making money. I want to start teaching kids how to make money now. You don't need to wait to be an adult, baby. You can go ahead and do it now, let me tell you. Because People will recognize this. I have this on products right now. You can go into a store, you go to the store and buy it right now. I have an online store. It's on pillows, it's on sweatshirts, it's I have it on a hoodie, it's on an all over hoodie. This is a product that can be purchased. Now, this is my original, and I don't really sell my original art. What I do is I do high detail scans of these and high DPIs, and then I take these high res images and I clean them up. I do not edit them. I clean them. I just make sure that there's no hair marks or that the lines are even around the border, and that just nothing on the scan itself like came off looking not good. So I clean the image to make it ready, and then I put it on products. So I put these on products, and that's how I turn it back into a business. So I'm not just sitting
You
here
put
with
it on
art on my
products,
shelf.
you put it on like cards and stationery and clothing.
Yes.
And let's see
So
some of the things
these,
happening.
I'll actually show you this. So these are hand I watercolor, and these are handmade watercolor cards. So I watercolored this, and this is the inside, and I even have a stamp on the back, and it comes in an envelope, and I seal them up really nicely with a stamp, and
Beautiful.
I sell these at the local art market. So if you live here local where I live, then you can purchase these locally. But I don't mail these, and I don't do online mailing of these services. What I do is I scan all of the watercolor cards that I make, and then I will take those and I will put those onto products of other things, notebooks, journals, just whatever. And I sell them online. So people like the design and they like it. They might not be able to come and like purchase my handmade watercolor cards. And that's really only because it's really a hassle to do the shipping and the
Right. And
packaging.
you know what? I'm a paper person. I just
Yeah.
I'll show you this one. I just came back from Thailand. And I love paper. I love the texture of it. I love
Yeah.
how it makes me feel. I don't know why that is. Sometimes I
Yeah.
feel guilty. I recycle a lot of my paper. I don't like to throw it away. I don't like to waste it. It's a precious commodity. So to have a
Yeah.
handmade personal card is very beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And I do bookmarks, watercolor
Wow.
bookmarks. You want to know what's the funniest thing about this? My biggest purchaser of my bookmarks is my 27-year-old son. He lives down the street. And he comes over here and he'll go through my bookmarks, which I keep hearing this on. This is not normally like this, by the way. I did this special for you, April.
Thank you.
He'll come through here and he'll be like, "Let me see all the bookmarks you have," because he works over at the Ritz-Carlton, and he will buy these for me, but he gives them to guests.
Wow, that's so
I
special.
know.
That is special. Tell us a
It's
little bit
amazing.
about the storytelling because you have a very intimate story to tell. You help people with that in addition to the art therapy. Share that with us.
Yes, so it's really interesting. So the storytelling for me came about through the idea of letting the story go, letting the story go. So we all have gotten very, very used to holding on really tightly to our stories. You know, this is my story. I came from here and I did this and this is what happened, and blah, 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 blah. And we go and we retell the story. And sometimes we get so attached to the story, it becomes our crutch and it
Oh, yeah.
becomes our reason and our excuse. And we'll do any manner of things to protect the story. But in essence, you really got to let the story go. You have to let the story go if you ever want to grow past the story. So how do you let the story go? Because people begin to go, "But who am I if I'm not the story? Who
Right.
am I? Who am I?" And I did that. I did that. I went through this whole season of who am I if I'm not this? I don't know who I am if I am not this. And I really had to seek deeply who I was. And one morning I was sitting, and Roku is just so funny, goes, got a suggestion for you to watch. It was like 4 a.m. I've got a suggestion for you to watch. I see that you're bored. Punky Brewster. I've got all of the reruns from Punky Brewster, and I'm like, I am in. You had me at hello. And so I literally started watching Punky Brewster episode, like season one, episode one. And from the minute that the theme song started playing, I started crying, puddles, leaps of puddles on the ground, because I realized I don't know how I missed that. Because I knew that Punky Brewster was my favorite TV show when I was a kid. I did know that. I
Right.
did know it. But I didn't remember the show or the episodes or like the details, really. You know, I knew Punky, I knew Hank, and that was about it, and Cherry, and that was about it. But I didn't remember the show. But before this day happened, I had been sitting, I who am I if I'm not this story? Who am I if I'm not this story? And then this story came to me, The Adventures of Pete and Elle. And so I had started writing The Adventures of Pete and Elle, and it's a story about a girl named Pete who wanted to, you know, who's a little tomboy named Pete, but her name was Pete. And she had an invisible dragon named Elle. And they would leave the house first thing in the morning and go have adventures. And you come to find out later in the story that her name is Penelope, and that she just does not like the name, and so she changed it to Pete, and she just wants to be called Pete, and that's it. And I'm sitting there going through Punky Brewster. This is just months after I've written the story, and all of a sudden I hear that Punky's name is Penelope.
Oh, wow.
I can't even begin to tell you how much I lost it. I realized all of a sudden I just started to like unpack and unpack, and as more episodes and more episodes and more episodes just started to go bing, 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 bing. I created the story. I did it.
Yes.
And this is when everything kind of flipped. This is the paradigm shift for me, right? Where all of a sudden I realized, oh, the story didn't happen to us. We create the story as we go.
Right.
We're defining it every step of the way. Every step of the way, every inch of the process, all the way back from the beginning, like when we're little. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, the situations, we are defining the story.
Exactly. And you know, and but I tell people all the time, like my mentor always tells me, you can redesign the story too.
Yes.
Don't have to stay stuck. You know, you
It's
don't
not
have to
until
say,
you understand. If you don't understand, you get lost. You can get lost in that, who
right.
am I?
Yeah, you can
Yeah.
get smothered in it, or if you allow people to keep you stuck.
Yeah.
You
Oh,
have to look
well.
for new opportunities, you have to look for new for new adventures, you've got
Yeah.
to seek out different people. You have to seek out different modalities. And that's where, you know, teachers and great people like you that work with grief, that also have a sense of what's going on in the future with artificial intelligence, with managing our emotions, a new way to do that, and having a creative outlet. You have a course. Tell us a little bit about the course.
Yeah, so the course is Intuition, Emotions, and You, The Secrets of Heart Authority. So, in essence, this is about just understanding our emotions. I think that it's really important now for people to start getting back in touch with their emotions. We've got too many of us are so disconnected from our emotions, and yet we react and we act from our emotions and just don't even have a connection that we're even doing. And I can even fall into this until my husband goes, you know, thankfully we, you know, once you get have been married, I've been married for 23 years, you know, I know you just celebrated your wedding anniversary already.
Already, what a minute.
Hopefully, you know, when you've been in relationships for that long, you start to learn and grow together,
You
right?
do. But
And they
I always tell people too, you never can lose a sense of self.
no. Absolutely not. In fact, I probably have more of a sense of self because of, I say that my marriage is my yoga.
It's your downward facing dog.
Is my, oh wow. Well, it can be that too, but it is my sadhana, if you will. It is just my, it's my, like,
It's your child
I
bone.
told him, I don't know
Definitely.
how many
I
times
get
we've
it.
done this.
I get it. I get it. So, tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to work with you, and how to get more information. I want them to stay connected to you, Amanda. I really do.
So to get in touch with me is really, really easy. My website is thogs.me, and it's THOGS. And I'm going to make that really simple. It stands for the House of Good Spirits. THOGS dot me, M-E, thogs dot me. And it's got all my things, everything. It's got my course, it's got my shops, it's got my socials, it's got my sign up, my email sign up. It's got all everything for you, for anybody to get in touch with me. And the House of Good Spirits, that's the end goal. The end goal is to eventually have a retreat center called the House of Good Spirits, completely packed and including equestrian therapy, art therapy, sound therapy,
Wow.
ecosystem, nature therapy, all of the things. That's my
And you'll
end
be
goal.
greeted at the front door with AI.
Well,
Thank you
listen,
so much.
yeah.
I mean,
Yes, thank you, April.
this has really been great. I love the whole interview, but the beginning of it, brains, go back and listen to it, because I don't want us to go into the 22nd century afraid of something that you can't control. Fear is a captor. Fear is a liar. You have to feel the fear, yet do it anyway. And figure
My
out
whole
what works for
course.
you and go forward and figure
My
out
whole
what
course
works.
is done with AI, by the way. The teacher that teaches the course and all of the videos is a trained AI version of me as my future self.
I'm going to check that out personally. Brains, go in, love, like, share, and subscribe. We're going to put all of Amanda's contact information at the back part of the interview in the show notes. You know how I do. I'm going to rerun the interview a million times, let you know what's up and coming, how you can stay involved, how that you can become the best possible version of yourself. Thank you so much, Amanda, for being here on the edge. You are the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye, brains. Have an incredible day. I'm counting on you.